Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
And hello, this is Helena Steiner-Hornstein. I'm finally back with you again. It's been quite some time that I haven't been with you, and I haven't forgotten you. I just had to do my own little journey, if we can call it that way, a journey of soul searching. And also, of course, I was working all the time. But after I was working and finished my courses and my seminars in different countries, I just needed some time for myself. So I haven't forgotten you, but I'm back and I'm in full health and best of all shapes, I must say. I have with me a wonderful guest, and I feel he couldn't be a better one for this particular moment when I'm back in my back to my own self again. And it's Eddie Benitez. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, and I'm so happy to be with you, and you are such a wonderful choice for this comeback moment. Thank you for being with me today.
It's a pleasure to be back with you. I enjoyed our last show.
Yeah, I really did too. I thought it was a fun one, and for anyone who hasn't heard it, I think they should go back and listen to it. It was good. It was really good. And for those who might not know who Eddie Benitez is, he is the legendary Eddie Benitez, the spiritual guitar player, I would say, or guitarist. He has a very, very special connection to the heavens. When he plays, people actually see angels on stage with him. And I would also like to say he's coming up with a new book, an autobiography called Angels on My Stage, the Eddie Benitez story. And before we go further, I'd like to play a little bit of music, because I was so touched by this particular piece of music. I'd like you to listen to this particular piece called A Child's Love. And we're going to finish that song later on in the program, maybe as the conclusion of the program. Can you tell me about this song, Eddie?
Well, while we were in the studio recording, and I had my 9-year-old daughter, Amanda, with me, and all of a sudden everything just embraced me and the love of a child, the love I had for my daughter, the love that God has for his children. And basically, that's where the song came about, the inspiration and the way I got touched by the heavens for that song.
Yeah. And, you know, I almost forgot that I was on air, so I could have listened to the end. But when I heard that one, I played it many, many times over and over, because something spoke to me through that music.
Well, it's kind of like God telling you, you know, you got to love the children.
Yeah.
You got to embrace them. You got to protect them. You know, and at the end, you hear the little girl say, "I love you, Daddy."
Yeah.
That's my daughter, Amanda.
Yeah. And you have several children, though. So she's the youngest one, is she?
Yeah, she's the youngest.
And
so it was a beautiful song. Howard Hewitt sang the record very... couldn't have done a better job singing.
Yeah, and that comes later in the song, as I said, for those who listen now, it's getting better. It's getting wonderful as you listen to it. So you have now come to the point in your life when you're writing your autobiography.
Yeah.
How does that feel? How did you feel like now is the time I have to write my story? What happened? What made you finally do that?
Well, the way religion is today, the people that are being deceived by religion, it was kind of like writing my autobiography and rewriting the Bible at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I have, there are many chapters there about religion.
That's interesting you bring that in. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? The most divided day in the world is 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has their churches, and it's the most divided day in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, religion divides people, and God doesn't want his children divided.
Yeah.
And people got to realize that religion is a way to control people, and probably created by Paul, the alleged 13th apostle.
Yeah.
They claimed that Jesus told them he was a 13th apostle, which is a blatant lie and it's blasphemy.
Yeah. And you and I, we are spiritual. And, you know, people out there, they don't even know what it means to be spiritual, and they don't know what it means to be religious.
Well, spirituality is the ultimate. It's the closest you can get to God from earth.
Yes, it's the direct connection.
Right. It's kind of like a direct connection, you know?
Yeah. And
And you know what? Religion, all it does is just enforces that there's a place called hell, and we know there's not.
Yeah, that's true. Well, religion is a place where someone has control over you, and it's full of man-made rules, and they tell you
that's
what
right.
to believe, whereas spirituality is just you connected with God directly, without any interference.
You know, I've had so many people trying to convert me to religion and to their churches, I just laugh a lot. It's unbelievable, okay, because you know, I'm hard-headed.
Yeah.
And I'm set in my ways and everything like that. So, you know, the important thing is you don't have to be religious. You know, you can be spiritual, even minimal spiritual, but the most important thing you have to have in you is faith.
Yeah.
Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, and that's it.
Yeah. So how would you define faith, actually, the way you use faith? How do you define that? How does it work for you, I would say?
Well, it's, you know, faith is something that's, you got to develop and believing. And you have to kind of like take faith and at first believe in Jesus Christ and God. And then the next level in faith is to actually know that Jesus and God exist.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when you're a child and you trust your parents for everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you're hungry, you know your parents are going to feed you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you fall down and you get cut, you know your parents are going to attend to you.
Yeah.
It's the same principle.
Yeah. And this has helped you, though.
God is going to be there for you. Huh?
Yeah. And this has helped you a lot throughout your life, because I know you were very sick at a few times. I mean, a few times.
You were
quite sick. You had cancer and things. How did that work? How did you fix that for you?
Well, I had 3 months left to live with Hodgkin's, advanced Hodgkin's.
And that's what the doctors told you? You had 3 months to live?
Yeah, I was going to go through bone marrow transplant.
Oh.
And the night before I was going to check into the hospital, I had a vision of Christ.
Yeah.
And I woke up anyway to make it was a long story, but I'm going to make it short by saying that I woke up the next morning. I called my doctor. I said, Jesus visited me. I'm healed. I'm not going into the hospital for bone marrow. He says, Eddie, you're crazy. You'll be dead in 3 months. You got to come. And I have not seen a cancer doctor in 24 years.
Uh-huh. That's
okay?
Good. So you just knew, and you didn't go then, and you haven't been back since.
Not have been back since, no.
No, and that's, you know, I hear many stories about this, how people just decide No, now I'm well. Of course, that could be disastrous maybe in some cases, but they just know they have healed for some reason or the other, and it has worked beautifully. I had a friend who just had the same thing happen to her, and that was like 24 years ago, that the doctor said, well, you have 7 weeks to live, and you have to have this surgery. And she said, I'm going to take care of this. Thank you very much. And she went home and did her prayers, and she cured herself.
Well, you know what? God decides when you're going, not the doctors.
Yeah. This is true. Someone asked me, can all people be healed? And basically, yes, but no, you know, because there is something that, like you say, you have to have the faith, or you have to have that, what it takes, because otherwise...
I do believe that, like, when you're in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, that's pretty much the time that it's time to cross over to paradise.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
There are some people who are blessed to live 90, 100 years old, but you know what? If you get sick and you got an infirmity that's going to take your life, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I think you should let it go, because it's time for you to go into paradise, into God's kingdom.
Yeah, well, you know, it need not be in all cases, but sometimes it is time. And I say that to some people also, that, you know, sometimes it's simply time to go and to release yourself from this particular world. And at times when I wonder, why do people want to stay in this world? Isn't that a good world? What do you say? I have an answer to that too, but what is your opinion on that? Is this a good world for us to live in?
You know what? Right now it's not a good world. Why? The economy, children are in hunger, people are being tossed out of their homes and foreclosures, okay? We thought at this point that we had a good president in President Obama, and he would take care of the mess that Bush did, and he inherited an ugly plate, okay?
Yeah.
But forgive these companies, Fannie Mae right now needs another $10 billion, okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
and gave Ford another $5 billion several months ago, and now they want more money. You know what? Before I give Fannie Mae $10 billion, I'd save everybody. With $10 billion, you could pretty much save everybody in this country from foreclosure.
You know, this is so true, and I've been thinking about that. Instead of giving it to those corporations who have already shown that they cannot handle the pressure and they don't know what they're doing, why not start to distribute this to the people?
Well,
I thought in a way they're doing that too, aren't they?
When they gave $5 billion, yeah, that's the way. But when they gave $5 billion to Ford, right, the car company?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you had divided that with every American, man, woman, and child, each person would have gotten $42,000.
And that would have been fantastic seed money for most people.
And that could have helped with the foreclosures.
Oh, that would have helped so much.
That would have stimulated the economy.
You know, that's an incredible number, what you say there. And
it's true. I had a mathematician do this, okay? But
yeah.
It would have, you know, people would have gone out, bought food, bought clothing, you know, paid their bills. It would have stimulated the economy.
Yeah.
And left people in jobs.
Yeah. It's amazing who the experts seem to be, that maybe we should start to listen to the people in the street a little bit more, what they feel and think, instead of so-called experts. Isn't this the case about everything, that we have experts and the experts are stuck in a way of thinking that is absolutely limited sometimes? And I say that particularly in religion and spirituality. Well, spirituality is openness, but religion, think how very full of limitations there are.
I need to ask you a favor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Of all the hosts that I've been on radios with, right?
Yeah.
One of the purest hosts that I've met is you.
Well, thank you so much for saying that.
I can feel your great heart, and I can feel your spirituality, okay? And
thank
I'm not
you.
One of your one-liner. And I think it's up to more like people like you who have this gift to take 10 minutes out of a show or something and acknowledge what's going on in the world and get, you know, opinions from people on how to repair it.
Yeah.
But the key goal, you know, one of the keys of repairing this whole thing is for everybody in this world to start getting along together.
Very, very true. Very true.
All right? Become part of the human race.
Yeah.
And don't let religion, you know, all the wars are created by religion.
Yeah. And I say that, and sometimes I'm a little bit too outspoken, and when you're too outspoken, people are a little bit fearful of you. And particularly when it comes to those in the field of religion and so on. And I've been on many radio shows where they have said, you must not speak about this, you must not speak about that, you must not say that. And I say, why not? Oh, we have so many Christians listening to us. And I said, I thought I was a Christian.
A lot of people attack Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of the rabbis attack Christ, so he was in the same situation, so don't feel bad.
Yeah. So, I have a much better connection to Jesus than most people out there who preach his ways, you know. And I had someone coming to me for a private consultation, a wonderful human being who was studying to become a minister in the Church of Sweden, which is the Protestant Lutheran Church. And she has not been ordained yet, but she was going through a crisis because she said she could not believe what they were preaching. And I said to her that you have no idea how many ministers out there, particularly women ministers, have told me that, oh, you are so lucky, Helena. You can say anything you want, and you can say it exactly the way it is. We can't. We will be fired. But you are independent. And it's very, very dangerous out there to start to say exactly the way it is, you know, because you get enemies. And I have had some bloggers who get on my case because I'm saying the way it is. There's so much ignorance out there. Don't you find that way? I mean, the people are ignorant. They're not bad, basically. They're just terribly, terribly ignorant.
And all we can do is pray for them.
What did you say?
You know, all we can do is pray for those who are ignorant.
Yeah.
And don't want to open up their eyes. They don't want to open up their ears to the truth, okay?
Yeah. It's comfort if they do that. They're not comfortable with finding out the truth.
Well, and a lot of them people, that comes with their upraising from their mother and their father, how they were taught religion and things like that. But I'll go on record as saying, when my book comes out, I know that a lot of religions will attack me.
Yeah.
But I'm prepared because I know that I have Jesus behind me.
Yeah.
So I am prepared to debate, to dispute anything that religion tells me is not accurate on the Bible.
Yeah.
I know the Bible now. I haven't read it, but I know the Bible, okay? I know the truth of the Bible. And I'm not saying the Bible is wrong. What I'm saying is parts of the Bible are the truth and parts are written by the cynical minds of men.
Yeah. You know, I have the Bible by my... I have the Bible by my bedside and I actually open it up every night. And somehow I come to pages or to passages that really fit in, you know, interesting parts like, well, you should not eat other human beings and nor should you eat your pets, you know, things like that. And it says so. But then there are so many new additions to the Bible to fit in to the system, to keep the control among those who wanted to keep the control.
Right. Well, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was great at creating Christianity. You know, Jesus Christ, people won't remember, Jesus Christ never told his apostles, go out and create religion.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus never told that. It was Paul, the Apostle, who created Christianity and made sure that the word hell was said every fifth or sixth time to scare people.
Yeah.
But Paul was a murderer himself.
Uh-huh.
When he was working for the government, he was a murderer. He was killing the followers of Jesus. Those are like Jesus.
Yeah.
So people fail to remember that. And now all of a sudden Paul is proclaims to be an apostle. He was an apostle. He was as much as an apostle as Joseph Smith, as Nostradamus, as all these people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Have you researched the subject so you can kind of defend it when the people are asking you?
Well, yeah, I can defend it wholeheartedly because I always have angels around me who'll answer.
Yeah.
And tell me the answers.
Yeah. You know, see
even
me,
as we speak.
Sorry, continue. I'm sorry.
We
don't see each other,
speak.
We kind of interrupt each other, and it's totally unintentional.
Oh, I know, but you're a sweetheart, and God has truly blessed you, you know?
Thank you.
And my last show, I enjoyed it so much, and that's come my new CD, which will be out on September 1st. It's called Visions of Angels.
I saw that,
okay?
Yeah.
And I wanted people to know that you can see angels. You know, you can have visions of angels. One thing, you just got to have faith. That's
yeah.
all you need, that faith.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know if it's going to be my last CD or not, but it might be my last CD.
How long is it? It's a one-hour CD?
Yeah. But I think it's going to be my last CD, and I think I'm just going to take a few years to enhance my spirituality and help people.
Yeah, well, that's very good. Are you a healer also, so-called healer, or people have been healed through your music?
People have been healed through my music. We had an incident for a year in Florida back in 96 where people were coming to my door asking me to pray with them. People with AIDS, cancer, every disease would come and walk out healed. And I did that for a year, and I got scared.
Yeah.
And I ran away from that.
Why did you get scared? Because people got healed?
Too many people. It was like 30, 40, 50 people a day were knocking on my door.
Yeah.
And that became very scary. And that's in my book. And after a year, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't deal with it. And I says, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, I'm not a healer. I know you're healing through me, but people are looking at me as though I'm a healer, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a musician.
Yeah, you are a musician.
And it got scary for me.
Yeah, but you are the son of a healer. I mean, your mother was a healer, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah, my mother, yes.
Yeah, and how was your father? What did he do with his life? Was he into healing or spirituality?
My father had, if he had spirituality, he kept it well hidden, okay? he was the head of the embassy guards in Europe.
Oh, yes.
And he was a consultant to the Vietnam War, and then he was at National Security.
Uh-huh.
So my father was pretty much a quiet man at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great provider, great father, but he's pretty much quiet about his work.
Oh, yeah. But speak out about your work, and you speak for him. Did you have sisters and brothers also? And did you have that?
Yeah, I have two sisters. One of my sisters passed away. She passed away 6 months before my father, and my father and my mother passed away a year and a half after my father died. And now I have two brothers left in Florida and one sister.
Yeah. And have they inherited the talent of your mother, or are they like you in any way?
No, the only one that's inherited the spirituality that my mother had and that I have is my son Eddie, who was the focus on the show The Haunting, and he was possessed.
Oh, yeah.
And that opened up his whole world now.
Oh, really? Is he the oldest?
Yeah, he's the oldest, and... Uh-huh. He has that, the same thing I have, he has.
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes around helping people a lot and goes on his missions, and they have a ghost hunting group, and if they find that the house is possessed, they'll exorcise it, you know.
Oh, that's very good.
In the last year, I performed about 30 exorcisms.
Wow, you know, I'm a little worried about exorcism. I don't like doing it, really, but it has been necessary in some cases. I don't know how you do it, but...
it takes me 20 minutes. It takes me 20 minutes and they're gone. You know, it's like the Catholic church. It'll take them a year or 2 years. For me, it's only 20 minutes and the demon is gone.
Yeah. And how
because
do you
I have that
get rid
thing.
Of the demons?
Well, we demagnetize everything, kind of like in the show The Hauntings with water.
Yeah.
And with the one prayer, remember, there's only one prayer. Many churches throughout the ages created a billion and one prayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when the young man went up to Jesus Christ and asked Jesus, how should I pray? What did Jesus tell them? This is how you pray, Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
That's the one prayer. That's
yeah,
the
that's
only
true.
Prayer.
And,
yet, and
that really
religion...
works also. Yeah, that
right.
prayer works out there. I've seen it happen.
But Jesus
and I,
never said,
yeah.
create a billion prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never told the religious create a billion prayers, and that's what religion has done, created so many different prayers it confuses on who you're praying to.
Yeah. It does,
you know,
and so, that is why prayers don't work, because it's just like people are still fearful in their hearts, and then they kind of bubble those empty words in a way without the faith and trust in that. And of course it doesn't work then.
No, you know, you have one prayer, you have one God, you have one Christ, one
yeah.
Messiah, okay?
And one intention,
and
you know, you have that deep desire,
right.
that deep wish for things to go well
so
without the fear.
You do agree with me, but you do agree with me that if you keep it simple, things will happen.
Everything that is of the truth is simple. And
that's right.
why, you know, the words through a child are always the truth, because it's just so straightforward, simple. I do the same in my work. My words are very, very simple. I don't know all those intellectual words to describe things. No, I say it in a very simple way, straightforward. And for many people, that is too simple. They can hardly believe it. But no, it's the simplicity that works, and that is the truth.
True.
You know.
And that's why my music is simple.
Yeah. And it goes to your heart.
I keep my music simple, the melody simple and beautiful that I receive from paradise. And
yeah.
you know what? People embrace it. And I hope they embrace this new CD, because it's a beautiful CD.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, it's I made the CD for the people, not for me. It's kind of like a message.
Yeah. But, you know, if one says, I love you, that's simple. It's straightforward. That's all you need, instead of all kinds of explanations about love and everything else. No, I love you. That's all.
And you know what I tell people? I tell people, you want to have a great day? Go out early in the morning. The first stranger you see, right? Smile at them and wish them a good morning. When they smile back at you, it's going to set the stage for the rest of your day. Positive.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I wish people would listen to. Can you say that again in a way so they just listen? Because that is a wonderful bit of advice.
Well, you know what?
That.
You wake up in the morning, you go outside, and the first stranger you see, you wish them a good morning and you smile at them. And when they smile back at you, it's going to set the tone for the rest of your day in a positive way.
Yeah, it's true. It really
It's going to make you feel good.
Yeah.
And it works. I've told people to do that, and they've come back and they told me, it worked, Eddie. I loved it.
Yeah.
It doesn't
really
take
works.
Much effort. I know, but it doesn't take much effort to tell somebody good morning, a stranger good morning, instead of giving an attitude.
It's very, very true. And people love to chit-chat, even here in Sweden. Now, this is a different culture. And to my listeners, I'm in Sweden right now, and I'm experienced one of the most beautiful summers I have ever experienced anywhere. The weather is so fantastic and people walk around. This is a country that's so dark and cold normally, you know, most part of the year. And now it's beautiful and people are smiling and they say hello and they greet strangers and it's wonderful. Otherwise, Swedes wouldn't do that. I mean, it's like Russians, you know, they are scared of saying hello to strangers. They don't know why they are saying hello on the whole, you know. But it's a wonderful way of just giving people a smile. I noticed that even in the winter in Sweden, and you say hello with a smile to strangers in the supermarket or something, they will wonder, oh, do I know him? And they smile back. Or do I know her? And they smile back at you. So it's
yeah,
a good
it
way
you
of...
Yeah, but it makes you feel good inside.
Yeah, it's
you
very,
know,
very
that's
true. Your
point. Mm-hmm. And it sets the tone for the rest of your day.
Yeah, and upon that, I'm just going
day.
To take a few seconds of beautiful sunrise here, which I have recorded. Wasn't there something to start the day with? That
right.
was, yeah. the creator again is Eddie Benitez, who has created this beautiful music. He's a fabulous, sensual guitarist. And as you know, I'm very into music, and I founded two symphony orchestras a few years ago. So I have lived with music, and it's not that I'm a musician. I'm a natural musician. You know, I can sit down and play at the piano and I play the violin.
Yeah.
But music is something important in my life.
I'm glad because it's important and it's a universal language.
It really is. And,
even travel to Russia
to pick up students from Russia and bring them to America and to mingle with American students. And they started friendships because the music brought them together. And they sat side by side playing the piano. They would never have done that in politics or through the different religions. No, this was the music tying them together. It was a wonderful...
You know, religion.
Yeah.
That's why I know that religion was created by the thoughts of Satan, okay?
Do you know what...
Yeah. I'll live and I'll die by that rule.
Yeah, there is a lot of truth to that because basically I think there was spirituality and people got together or those who wanted power, they wanted to market that and use it for themselves. And that's how they created religion. They said, well, now we have to do this and we have to tell people they have to follow these rules that we set up. And if they don't do, they will go to hell and they will be unhappy and they'll be sick and everything else. I think that about is that it started through a good idea, but it was abused and misused for those or by those in power.
Since the first time I met you, I always said as long as there are people like Helena, the fight, and I don't mean to fight a physical fight, but the fight to get the truth out there will be there.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got to continue.
Yes, and there are people like me everywhere. And I have come to the point that I'm getting kind of, and even my last show, I was getting almost angry on the show, saying, why is it that this is being stopped all the time? Even those who could help so much are so fearful of putting people out there saying a few things that could solve a lot of problems within people. People are so concerned, you know, and worried, and they think they are not good people because they're not following those religious rules. They come to me, many of them, and they are unhappy, and they walk out very unhappy. It's not that I'm saying this and this is bad, but it's just that, no, we were meant to love the light. We're meant to love God. Doesn't matter who who is behind it. That is what tradition, what culture is behind this highest power or God, as we call it
but
here.
You know what? Maybe 3 to 5 years from now, me and you can sit down for lunch, and we could probably accurately say there's a change that's starting to take place, and we can see it.
Yeah, you know there is a change. They had a conference for the environment and global warming somewhere. And they asked me to come and speak there. And people say, why? You know, why should she be that? And when they ask me, what is your purpose? And no, the idea was to understand the outside environment, the outer environment. We have to fix the inner environment first, and that is our soul. We have to get peace and order in our soul. And once we have that peace and order in our soul and heart, then we realize automatically what's going on there outside.
Yep.
With the environment and everything. And it's actually quite simple.
You know, and it's a hard it's simple, but the process of touching one person and touching another person and touching another person, that's the hard part. People are going through so many trials. And, you know, people are going through so many trials and tribulations these days with the economy, poverty, and all of that. You know, they don't want to see reality, and the reality is that spirituality is the ultimate step.
Yeah, I don't think people know and realize what is going on and how much we can be part of, you know, the aid and the transformation that has to happen, and it starts with each one of us. I don't think people realize and how important it is that we understand the world around us. And the world around us is not only politics, it's not religion, it's spirit, it's spirituality, it's our friends in nature, you know.
Well, people got to realize that life doesn't, you know, you're born, you grow up, you grow old, and you die. And what's left? Your spirit.
Yeah.
So why don't you start working on your spirit while you're alive?
Yeah.
Okay?
You know,
that'll enhance your human life.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I want to say, I noticed musicians are very close to spirit. They are very much on the level where we are, you know. Of course, you turn that way when you create music and you play music a lot. But I noticed musicians are very, very open to spirit.
That's right. And you know, I believe that musicians, you know, when they pick up their instrument, they want to play their instrument. And after a few years, they get refined on their instruments and seek spirituality without them realizing it themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And particularly musicians who are free musicians, and I mean those who are not tied to a symphony orchestra where they have their particular chair and their particular instrument and have to follow notes all the time. But those and they're great too. But then particularly those what I call walking musicians, the ones who are moving along with life independently and creating their own connection with spirit and music.
Yep.
So we're going from now you. What? Sorry.
They're the prelude to the revolution of spirituality and music.
Yeah. Mhm.
Those who were shunned out by the music industry, who were shunned out by everybody else, they continue with their music because they have faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do so much with music. I always work with music when I work with people also. Because I feel it really takes away the negativity and the world around them. So basically, I believe we people are good. I really do. But I feel we are under the influence of other influences, other powers that are not necessarily
besides
good.
Besides Satan, we're under the influence of governments who basically ruined the country by making terrible decisions, and by doing that, they ruined the lives of the people.
Yeah.
You know,
and people have been
jobs,
stopped.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
might talk about America, and now out here in Europe, and I saw the headlines on the, for the evening papers here, it said, the economy is switching. It's opening up. We are going towards good times. And real estate is actually selling pretty well in Sweden. And I remember earlier in the summer, before the summer started, and I was walking through a few blocks in Stockholm, Sweden, the capital of Sweden, and there were so many things for sale. Do you know that 2 weeks later, every single thing that had been advertised was sold?
Yeah, but here in America, they said 2 months ago the economy was getting better, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? The economy got better for a lot of companies. They got money.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but for the individual people, they're still being foreclosed. They
yeah.
still don't have no jobs. They're losing jobs. I mean, jobs are still being lost as we speak.
Yeah.
Okay, and what happens for them? Nobody cares about them because they're not a majority. But they want, what they care about is keeping the companies alive. Okay, they say, well, if we give the banks money, you know, then the banks can lend money to the people who are being foreclosed, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you don't have a good credit rating, the banks ain't going to give you a loan.
That's true. They're not going to care.
Your house is going to be foreclosed. And that's what the government
it's like a catch 22. That's right. You know, so you have lost your home and you need a new home and you need work and you need, of course, money for that. And no one will lend you money in any way because your credit rating is bad. It's terrible.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, but the companies are being saved. Companies are surviving. And now because of all that, but you know what? The Americans are not surviving.
Yeah.
It's hard. You have guys who were making $150,000 a year now move to a little trailer home somewhere in the outskirts of Iowa to feed their family and do, you know, labor jobs and all of that. And you know what? That's horrible.
That's horrible and
for
the family, you know. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right. When you have to change your family to another state and the whole change the whole ambiance and everything. You know, it's bad that you got to go beg to feed your child, to go to these shelters and get food banks,
and
terrible. Things like that. And that's happening.
Yeah.
You know what? You go to the community centers and all of that, even out here in Scottsdale, and I've heard it from people, they run out of money to help people to pay bills or rent or anything like that.
Yeah. And Eddie, I think we will move on here, the show, but I would like to tell people out in the world, because we have people all over the world who are listening to this program. I believe we have 84 countries now. And for them, this is very interesting to hear just the inside story from another country, and particularly from America. So I think for that reason, it's been valuable to hear what is actually going on. And what state do you live in, Eddie?
I live in Arizona.
Uh-huh. And do you see a lot of this going on in Arizona?
Oh, yeah. You see a lot of foreclosures. You see a lot of people, trying to relocate. They tackle what they can in their car and try to go to another state to look for jobs and things like that. And I see it on a daily basis.
Yeah. But what do you feel now? Let's go back to spirituality and what spirituality is about. Do you think it would help these people who are now really down, and of course they need money, they don't need prayers, but do you think it would help their state of mind to become a little bit more into the light, so to speak, to be even better connected to God? Because I know not everyone is out there.
Well, the only thing it'll do for the people who are losing their homes and lost their jobs, the only thing that spirituality can do is let them know, give them the confidence that they have the love of Jesus and God, and it'll get them over that first hump to, you know what, I have faith, and things will change eventually, you know, instead of, you know, like that family out here, there have been several families who, when the father lost the job, he killed his whole family and committed suicide. That's happened a few times here already.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
And it is sad, and it'll keep people from telling their, you know, the husband telling the wife, or the wife telling the husband, and the children, don't worry, this is a process we got to go through in life, but things will get better, you know, and have that positive thinking. Those are the people that will survive, you know?
Yeah. Now, how do you communicate with your angels, Eddie?
They're around me always, and I hear them talk to me. I don't call upon them. But when they need to tell me something, they just come out and I can hear it, just like you're talking to me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you see them also, like in a vision?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. They're very beautiful, but you can't tell if they're male or female.
Do you know my little grandson, who is now 7, but this was like a couple of years ago, and he said, do you know the boy angels are in red and the girl angels are blue? And that fits in with
wow.
the yin and the yang. Wasn't that great?
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said the girl angels are blue and the boy angels are red. And that fits in with the yin and the yang energies. The yin energy,
right.
that is, you know, the blue is, and the yang, that
well,
is...
maybe people should be taking his advice a lot.
I really believe that children come in, so many children come in nowadays, and they are of the, you know, of the higher levels. And I think it's going... they are being born, just like during the old days, they said that more boys were born during wars and just before wartime, just so they could be out there in the wars. And now, this is history, European history, that has said so, old wives' tale, so to speak, but it's been carrying through the generations, and I was told that by my grandmother. Now, I feel that more spiritual children, and what they call, you know, indigo children and crystal children and so on, have been born, because we are going to hit times when it's going to be very, very necessary to reach spirit in a new way, that we need to connect with spirit very, very much so for the times ahead of us. It's just in the times.
Wow. That's true. Wise words.
Yeah, I really believe that there is, it's in a way that we have lived, that the planet has lived before, you know. Don't you feel that sometimes, that everything has happened here before and we have now come to the point where we have the choices of continuing? Or we would go back to dinosaurs again and start all over.
That goes back to evolution versus creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And we all know that in the book of Genesis, it says God created all creatures great and small.
Yeah.
Right? So that throws out the theory of evolution.
Okay. Well, it does, but also it doesn't, you know. Suddenly it could just get back to a really, truly big believe that God has created us,
but
all life as well.
But
we don't know.
Evolution,
yeah.
But these experts on evolution, the one question you got to ask them, if there's such a thing as evolution, right?
Yeah.
Why were human beings the only ones to evolve? You know, because evolution, with so many species on Earth, you would think that evolution would have happened to 3, 4, 5 different species, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah. Do you know, I believe that each species is evolving. The humans for themselves, the dogs, you know, the animals their way, and the fish their way. So I think they evolve all the time, and we evolve.
Yeah, but
we are, I don't think we can reincarnate back in a dog or anything like that. I don't think you go from a dog to human.
I don't believe in reincarnation.
No. Oh, you don't?
No, reincarnation, that whole story and fad came about during Paul again, and the fact is that people started looking back at Christ, that he was resurrected. And he said, well, if Christ was resurrected, that means we can come back too. But you know what? Don't forget, Christ was resurrected because he was the Messiah. He didn't come back in a different, what you might say, form of reincarnation to live another life.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he might
came back
not have reincarnated. Yeah, and that might have different opinions of that, because when I've been working on people, and I look into them and I see that energy around them and with them, and see how somehow they are plagued by ideas that are not belonging to this lifetime, and I had one man, and he didn't want to tell me what was wrong, and I immediately looked at him and saw that energy and got that vision around him, and said, listen, you have lived before and you were shot 3 times in the stomach. And I saw the picture exactly where it was, and was United States in the South somewhere, and how he was dressed and how another soldier from the North came and shot him 3 times in the stomach. And then I said, you probably have 3 places in your stomach where it hurts and no one knows what it is and no one can figure out why you have it. And it plagues you. You have it at night and you have it all the time, because when you died at that particular time, it went through your mind 3 shots and how it hurt in your stomach. And that was how you died, you know, fairly quickly. But that was how you passed over.
If that's possible to come back in another body after you die, right, and relive again, you know what? Go to poor neighborhoods, go to criminals, go ask them all, would you like to live your life over again and come back? You know what they're going to tell you? No.
No. No. But still, on the other hand, you know, as I said before, I believe that the core in us is good and that we have been given a chance to do good afterwards. That in a way, we can create our paradise or our hell here on earth. But, you know, I have come to that conclusion through what I've been seeing on these thousands of people in different parts of the world, how they have been troubled. I came to Germany, and there were young people who came to me and said, I have those nightmares, how I'm killing people, how I'm hurting people, and it doesn't leave me, it's with me day and night. And it's getting worse and worse. And then I looked into them, and I saw how they had lived during the Nazi times and how they had worked in concentration camps and killed people. Now, they didn't go to hell in a way, because that we have said it doesn't really exist. Instead, they came back here to this earth, and they haven't finished the energy that is the God energy, and that they have to improve that energy within them. And instead, they have to make that good within them, you know, what they were, and fix that. And then we have to work on that. And it takes, you know, a lot of work for these.
Well, let's hope you're right. You know, let's hope you're right. But I tend to believe that, you know, when you die, you go on to paradise. I wouldn't want to come back.
I believe that, too. I believe I go back to paradise also. And I even said, no, this time I don't want to go back to Earth. I want to stay here.
God told me you got to go back to another body and relive another life. Oh, God, please don't send me.
I don't want to. And I said, dear God, not this time. I've had it. This was it. But it was strange.
I've been near death 4 times. I don't want to go through this again.
No. And even when I was a young child and knew nothing about past lives or reincarnation or anything of that sort, I said to everyone around me, people thought I was nuts, and they said, in this lifetime, I want to do so much so I don't have to come back here again. And that was pretty deep for a 10-year-old or so, you know, to say such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was just automatically, you know, speaking from my soul. And somehow I have totally changed from the one I was to the one I'm now, a completely different person, and I like myself much better now.
There's so many prophets in the past and people who proclaim themselves to be prophets who have their own ideals of what's going on after life, okay?
Yeah.
And the only thing that I tell people to stick by is faith in Jesus Christ and faith in God. Whatever happens after that, we don't know. Sure.
It's so true. And when I ask questions like, you know, I'm asking in my meditations or my prayers, tell me, dear God, what happened, you know, how were we created? And I always got the answer, you will never find out. You human beings will never find out.
Nope.
And we should stay with that. Because
that's the good part. You see, that's the whole idea, is for us to always be inquisitive about that during life.
Yeah, we should be.
We'll never find the answers, but we'll always become inquisitive about it.
Yeah.
And ask and try to find the answers, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what keeps the human soul going, wanting to learn the answers.
Yeah. No, it's very, you know, it's so important to be curious. And I've seen systems, you know, of regimes in the world where people are not allowed to be curious. They're not allowed to question things,
no.
Nor are they allowed to criticize things. You know, and that is sad. We should be allowed.
You know that saying? You know that saying where they say curiosity killed a cat?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I say curiosity just makes you wiser.
It does. That's how we learn.
Yeah.
That's really true. And also this, that we learn all the time. It means we are changing our opinions. I believe today, you know, when I was younger, I said, oh, no, we all need meat. We need that steak. You know, it makes us strong. You know, later on, years later on, I almost died. Why? Because I was allergic to meat. I cannot eat meat. It makes me really sick. So we have to change. We have to move on all the time. And that is the importance. Otherwise, we can form our own kind of religion, so to speak. It has to be this way because that has worked for me. No, we have to be open and move on. And that is the wisdom that we have to start to be open to. There is a wisdom.
Well, religion has to be abolished. And spirituality has to be the focal point of
yeah,
the future.
I wish. I really hope so. And I think somehow it is happening, Tao, that so...
Oh, it is happening. The
yeah.
fall of the Catholic Church, you see everything that's going on with them in the last few years, with the pedophiles
yeah.
and all that. And financially, they're struggling. They're selling their churches. Some of the churches in America, they're selling because they can't afford to have them anymore.
Yeah, no, it's very true.
And it was... And that was the strongest church in the world,
yeah.
the Catholic Church, and it's falling apart. And you know what? Hopefully, most churches will fall apart, and people will seek spirituality. You know, you could create a place of gathering where people can praise the Lord and pray together, and it won't be a religion, it won't be anything. It'll just be a house of gathering of God's children.
Yeah. I have to play a little bit more of your music here because I want to continue a little bit over the time, which I can do, but I cannot play the music over time. So I have to do that before it's over. So we'll continue here with the love of God. Hello, yeah. I am afraid of being cut off here if I play the more of the music because they cut off the program if I'm in the files. So let's talk a little bit further, Eddie Benitez. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm here.
You're there. And we didn't get to the end of the song. I would like to play that song in a different program too. Can I do that, Eddie?
Yes, you can do that.
And I will mention your name. Can you tell everyone where to get hold of you and your music?
Well, it's EddieBenitezMusic.com. I have the MySpace, / Eddie Benitez. I'm on New Groove Records. They can just Google my name, Eddie Benitez, and everything will pop up. There's over a million items about me. So, you know, my music is all over every internet, every store will be in, Amazon, Tower Records, you name it, it'll be there. Visions of Angels.
And Benitez to everyone is written exactly the way we say it and has a Z for zebra at the end, Benitez.
Right.
That should not be too hard. So we are now giving little extra time to the show because we got a little bit in conversations here that we have to kind of continue maybe. And I had more questions for you about the paranormal and so on, which you have enclosed in your book. And I had wanted to give so much time to that, but maybe next time, Eddie.
Next time, yeah. It'll be a pleasure to have a next time with you.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, sometimes you can hurt many people when you bring up religion because it means a lot to people. And it's a very, very sacred subject for many good people because that's what they know. But once you move around in the world and you open up your mind a little bit, you look at things a little differently. So they have to understand that not everyone feels like they do, just like we must understand that everyone doesn't understand the way we do. But I'm certainly...
Well, I tell them if you're going to be blinded by the truth, if you don't want to hear the truth, at least open up your mind.
You know, when you are open, and that is all, you know, it's like when people come to me and they say, can you heal me? And I said, basically, yes. But it depends how open you are, you know. And there have been, people have been really quite sick. And they have said, I don't care what you're doing. I don't know if I believe, but I'm open. I need help. And they've had fantastic results because they have been open and ready. And that is wonderful. So openness and open mind is what it takes to move on.
Open mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So we agree on that one.
You have an open mind and an open heart. That's right.
So, and everyone out there, you want to reach me again? And I've heard a lot from you lately, everyone. I'm delighted. You get me through my website, speakingtoyourheart.com, or to Faith Healing, but FAITH hyphen, that is a dash healing, that means two words with a dash in between, .com. So faithhealing.com and speakingtoyourheart.com. And I will be back again this month. And next time I'm going to speak about 15 major questions regarding the power of healing. And I'm going to answer those. So are you there, Eddie?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, because my switchboard kind of cut itself off, so I hope we are on. So thank you all. Thank you so much, Eddie, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.